know that Bethlehem was in Riverdale, but they do a great job. I really urge you to join us in that. A couple other invitations. One is the gatherings, family Christmas. Today is the last day to sign up for that. And also the children's Christmas program. It's going to be on what day? What day was that? Saturday. Very good. Saturday, December 21st at 5 p.m. It'll start here in the sanctuary. In fact, next week you're going to see some of the backdrop set up. But then there's going to be dinner to follow. But we need you to sign up for dinner. Lisa, where should they sign up for that? Okay. So don't go out the side doors today. Go out the back, and that way you can sign up for dinner. That way we know how much food to have ready. So you're invited to the gatherings, Christmas gathering, as well as the children's Christmas program. One more that I want to urge you to join us in. Not next Sunday, but Sunday, December 22nd. So this is Sunday after church. Our deacons are leading a charge of carolers to go to our precious members who are at home. So that'll be right after church. We'll grab lunch. It'll be good. It'll strengthen you to be able to sing your hearts out, to really bless. I think we have right now 9 or 10 different locations that we're going to visit, so that those who are unable to come to church, those who are older, aren't alone, so they know we don't forget them. And so please, please plan on being a part of that. That'll be right after church on the 22nd. And we will be done, so you'll be able to make it out to Bethlehem, to Riverdale, on time. So both of those can happen. So I hope you'll be a part of both of those. Please stand.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. Just is satisfied to look on him and ponder me, to look on him and ponder me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my my God.
Please be seated. Please turn to John chapter 1. That's found on page 788, and we'll be reading that in just a moment. John chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 18. This is the time of year, isn't it? Where it just, I heard Kim mention after the invitations and announcements, there's so many things going on. And we just talked about the ones that are here in church. There are the office parties, the family gatherings, even shopping. You're out and you're meeting people. You're meeting your friends. Maybe you're being introduced to people that you've never met before. Maybe at your family gathering this year, you're going to have someone who's new to the family, and you're going to be introducing yourself to them. And so you're going to introduce yourself with, usually it's our name, right? Hi, I'm Greg. That's usually how, if someone doesn't say, hi, this is, you'll usually extend your hand. Maybe it'll be a hug. Maybe it'll be kisses on two cheeks. If you're from Lebanon, three cheeks. You just go back and forth three different times. But we introduce ourselves. Usually it's with our name. And then comes probably what you do. Maybe it's your work or maybe what you have done. Maybe it's your family. Maybe someone knows someone that you know. And so you make that association. Maybe it's your school. Maybe where you were born. There's all sorts of ways we introduce ourselves, and we choose very carefully how we introduce ourselves. Because what do they say about first impressions? Boy, they stick, don't they? Sometimes you just wish you could, oh, could I get that back? And it's pretty hard to. But as we introduce ourselves, we're hoping to find some form of connection. And that's what we get in John. John writes what for us are the first 18 verses as his introduction to Jesus. So I want to ask you, how would you introduce Jesus? Would it be his name? Maybe what he's done, maybe where he's from. I don't know if you choose heaven or Bethlehem. You might use both. His family background. Maybe an association that you have with him. How would you introduce someone to Jesus? Follow along with me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which is his own, which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John introduces Jesus as the Word. And this isn't primarily, even though the word in Greek is logos, it's not primarily drawing upon Greek philosophy. It's drawing upon the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures and how repeatedly we hear, we read, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, everything was created. The word of the Lord came to the prophet saying, the word of the Lord came, the word was in the beginning with God. Did you notice that John starts this gospel the same way another book starts? Did you notice that? In the beginning. Those are probably the first three words you ever read when you open your Bible, because those are the first three words. In the beginning. John is saying that this one whom he wants to introduce to us, he was in the beginning. He was with God, and he was God. Not only was he in the beginning, but he is our eternal creator. See, he starts with the Word. I want you to know the Word. Oh, and let me tell you what he does. Let me tell you what he's done. Just like you might describe what you do, John says, I want you to know that the one I'm introducing you to has made everything. Nothing was made apart from him. Nothing. And just think about that for a moment. I'd like to introduce you to your Creator. Let me think about that for a moment. I'd like to introduce you to your Creator. Not just an idea, not just a philosophy, not something that you have to close your eyes to see. John's saying, I want you to meet your Creator. But you might want to keep your eyes closed, because the Word is incomprehensible light. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, remember in Genesis, in the beginning, there was darkness. And then God said, the word of the Lord spoke, and there was light. Light. And then came life. This is our Creator, but he's incomprehensible. Darkness can't stop it. Darkness cannot stop it. See, he is the light and life. This is the glory of the living God. But I hope you caught something that was very odd about this. It speaks of John, and John came to testify concerning the light. So this Creator, this incomprehensible light, can be talked about by human beings. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. So now he's come. I want to introduce you to someone who has come, our Creator. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. You need to know something. This is not about knowledge. It wasn't like, oh gosh, you know, I don't recognize him. Did he do something with his hair? What's? No, this is, Jesus was rejected. The Word was rejected. Our Creator The one that John wants to introduce us to is a vulnerable person. Creation didn't recognize him by volition, by choice. Creation refused to recognize God, to recognize their creator. One counselor that I've met with constantly reminds me that I have this gift. I think I've inherited it from my father. The gift of denial. Is anyone else gifted in this way to be able to approach reality that other people seem to see so clearly? I don't know what this is. Something's just right in front of me, and I miss it. I deny reality. Instead of just saying, you know, this is what it is. Greg, this is an attitude you have. Greg, this is something you've done. This is some way that your behavior has affected others. What, me? No, come on, no, not really. You know, I didn't just inherit it from my father. We all, to some degree, have inherited it as human beings. We refuse to recognize the truth. Creation says to the Word, we don't recognize you. No, this beauty, this amazing creation, it just happened. And don't start getting mad at those who believe in evolution. Just look at your own heart for a moment. We deny the truth that is right in front of us. But we go beyond choosing to remain ignorant. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. More specifically than creation, the word of the Lord, came to the people the Lord had redeemed, those whose ancestors had been rescued from slavery in Egypt. He came to them, and they wouldn't receive him. They rejected him. They disowned him. The people belonging to the Word rejected him. Have you ever been rejected? You go to someone, maybe you've done something for them. Parents, you know what this is like with your children. You come to them and they want nothing to do with you. And you say, what is it? What did I do? What haven't I done that you would treat me like this? I imagine every one of us knows what it feels like to be rejected, not just because we're paranoid, not just because we have all these feelings, but because it's true. Every one of us has been rejected. And what stood out to me as I was reflecting on this is there are a couple of passages in the Old Testament where God literally approaches the prophets, one in Micah, one in Isaiah, where he says, what more could I have done? How did by serving you, caring for you, speaking to you, delivering you, how have I offended you that somehow now you reject me? How do you answer that question? Because it comes to every one of us asking the same thing. Came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, if it ended here, this would be a tragedy. This would make Shakespeare, the Greek tragedies, look like nothing. Because the living God, the Word of God, has come to his own, to his creation, and to his own people that he has personally rescued, and they've rejected him. If that's the end of the story, then Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Good luck. But that's not the end. That's not the end. Did you catch what verse 12 said? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. See, it's not enough to know, it's to choose. It's to say, I receive, I believe. It's not an intellectual assent. Remember, the rejection isn't just intellectual. I didn't know, I'm ignorant. No, it's about saying, I receive you, Jesus. I receive you. I'm not going to be like those who turn away. I'm not going to be like those who reject you, Word. I am going to receive you. I'm going to believe in you. In about, what, week and a half, two and a half weeks, you are likely going to receive presents. Well, there'll be presents with your name on it. Have you ever left them under the tree to open next year? Ever? Okay, maybe you have. I don't. How about your children? Have they ever said, oh, that's okay, I don't want that gift? Even though it looks to be exactly what they were hoping for? You and I have friends and relatives who have left the gift of life unopened. Rejected. They have not received it. It is not about what you know about the Word. It's what you do with the Word. Have you received the Word? If we do, this Word who was with God in the beginning, who is God, who's made all things, this Word gives us the right to become children of God. You are not a child of God because you are Armenian. It says right there, it's not born of natural descent. Nope. If you're American, great country, does not guarantee your eternal destination. Born of God. Born of God. The Word can give new birth and new life. Can you see why John would want to introduce you to him? I'm curious, is there anyone you'd like to introduce to the Word? See, because the Word introduces us to God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The Word did indeed come to planet Earth, took on flesh, didn't just wear it like a uniform. It's not Superman who puts on a costume who looks like us, but he's really from Krypton. He'll just look like us, but not really us. The Word became a human being. The words John has chosen here are so clear. Humanity. He is a person. The Word is a person, and he dwelt among us. The language John uses is so specific. He made a tabernacle among us. And again, going back to the Hebrew Scriptures, where did God live? He met Moses on the mountain, and he gave the list of laws. But more than the laws, what else did he give? He gave ridiculously specific dimensions and measurements, materials requests, everything for a tabernacle, for a tent, so that God could dwell with his people. The living God did not want to stay out of time and space. He came and dwelt among his people, not in a human body, but in a tent. And now the Word takes that one step further. Instead of pitching a tent, having them build it, he says, I'll take a body. I will be fully human. I will become just like them. And how does John say it? We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you remember when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, the people had to turn away? See, he's talking about the glory of the living God came to planet Earth. But if you're the one talking to John or reading this for the first time, you might be saying, okay, the Word. I don't know anybody named the Word. I love it. Verse 15, John testified concerning him. What's his name? He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Okay, good. We know it's not John. Who is he? Out of his fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through, wait for it. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Like, finally, we get his name. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Okay, Moses, we got grace from God from the law, in the law through Moses. But his name is Jesus. Jesus is the one who is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the Word of God, God's self-expression. We get his name. He is the one and only. Jesus came to reveal God. John's saying, I want to introduce you to Jesus. God's name is Jesus, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the one who created everything, the one who was rejected by his people. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, who's in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus Christ has come to reveal God. Jesus Christ now calls us to reveal God. You have not seen God. Remember, Moses asked, show me your glory. And God says, you know, if I show you my, no, we're not going to go do that. You can see my backside. I'll pass by you. And when the glory passed by him, it was the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, whose steadfast love and faithfulness endures forever. Grace and truth, that's the Greek words for hesed and emet, God's unfailing love and faithfulness. Jesus, he's him, it's him. Jesus is the revelation of God himself. And so, John says, I want to introduce you to him. But I want to ask you, do you hear his call for you to introduce him to others? See, Jesus came to introduce God to humanity. And now he calls us to continue that revelation. That's why he came. Do you want your purpose in life? Your purpose is to continue this revelation. See, we are called to introduce Jesus to everyone we can. You're going to be meeting a lot of people, and the parties, the gatherings have already started, and I'm just going to let you know something. If by the end of New Year's Eve, a lot of people know who you are, that's great. Even better, that the people who meet you, people who are introduced to you, you introduce to Jesus. He came to reveal God, and he can reveal him through us. Amen. I'd like you to stand. But I'm going to ask, afterwards, I'm going to ask you to sit down again. I'd like to invite all of you, members and non-members, to please stay for our congregational meeting. I'm asking you to stay. Normally, it's just members, because when it comes time to vote, I'm going to ask that it would just be the members who would voice their support for the elders and deacons. But I'd like all of you to remain so you're aware of the budget, so you can see what our elders have prepared for us for 2020. And also, we want to continue the conversation that started the first Sunday of October about sensing God's vision and direction for our First Armenian Press. So please stand now and receive the benediction. Yevimam merder Jesus Christos ishnorka, hor astuzosera, yev sur pokvoin harotaksutuna, mer amin hedala. And now may the God of all grace, who has revealed himself to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may he introduce others through you. Amen. Don't go in peace. Go ahead and sit down. Your children will be ready to stay in the nursery, but please go ahead and sit down, and we will jump right into our congregational meeting. So I'd like to invite Ed Isajan and Sue Garabedian to come forward. Ed as our elder and Sue as our treasurer. Please be sure to get a copy of the budget. And in just a minute, we will get started. And you can sign up for the children's program after the annual meeting. Don't worry, you can go out the back and sign up for that.
Open the meeting, so I'd like to say that we